Good morning. It's good to be here with so many folks who are dedicated to doing what we need to do to please our Lord and our Savior, and to live lives that indeed reflect in our lives what God and Christ wants us to be, so that the world can change from what we see today into a loving people. I want to start just mentioning two words, virtue and virtuously. If you look in Strong's, these two words in one form or another appear just 11 times in the Bible. But I ask myself, what do they mean? What is virtue or virtuous? Specifically, as the Bible wants us to understand it. Christopher Marlowe, an English playwright and poet from the late 1500s, wrote, "Virtue is the fount whence honor springs." Virtue is the fount whence honor springs. So what did Marlowe mean by that? Well, I can't answer that question based on what Marlowe said. So I think that I look into the scriptures to see if perhaps it can help me to understand. So let's begin, first of all, in the Old Testament, where the word virtue or virtuous is applied three times. In Proverbs 12 and verse 4a, from the King James Version, it says, "A virtuous woman is the crown to her husband." And then over in Proverbs 31, 10 and 11, from the King James Version, and this is a proverb that all of us have heard many times before, but it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he will have no need of spoil." And then over in Ruth 3:11 from the American Standard Version, it says, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." I think these three verses give us an idea that praise and honor to a woman or a wife in the sense of her value to others, evident to those who know her. So the question, it seems to me biblically, is what produces virtue? What is the fount of it? What is the excellence of life that is praised in these three examples of these women in the Old Testament? So when we turn to the New Testament, I think we get a picture of virtue. We get a picture of how we tap into it. What Marlowe says is the fount from which virtue springs. So let's look at Matthew 5, and let's read verses 13 through 16. Matthew 5, turn there with me, and let's read verses 13 through 16. And I start out with this to give us a sense first before we move to what virtue is. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, and if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus tells us here that followers of him, Christians, are to be salt and light in a darkened world. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Because we need to be virtue. We need to have virtue or virtuous. So let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and let's read verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter 1 and verses 1 through 4. Peter writes, "His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through those you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." against the backdrop of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, Peter's point is that God has called us by glory and virtue. That is, God has called us by a standard of right that is opposed to the corruption that exists in the world, which is in a darkened space spiritually without Christ. Let's consider an example of attributes that are of the divine nature of God, because that's the important thing. Those virtues, those divine nature of God, by which He has called us. He has called us by glory and virtue. So turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And let's read, in Philippians chapter 4, let's read verse 8. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Virtue, then, I think, is meditating on things that are true, things that are noble, things that are just, pure, lovely, of good report. These represent what is virtuous. They define the style of living that God wants us in our lives. Now, the word meditate here, from the Latin, is the word meditare, which means to reflect on, but also to study and to practice what you have thought about and studied. Meditate goes beyond just thinking about something. When Paul says meditate on these things, give it some thought, but go beyond that. The word goes beyond that. What we have to do is give it thought, and then what we have to do is study it, and then what we have to do is practice it. And when we begin to understand how these words work in our lives, how these attributes work in our lives, then we begin to come closer to what God called us by, and that is glory and virtue. That is what He has called us by. And when we start thinking of these attributes, but not just thinking about them, studying them and putting them into practice into our lives, then glory and virtue are defined. And what we learn from these verses is that glory and virtue cannot be found in human knowledge. Because when we read what it says here, that we are to meditate on these things, you know, this is the Word of God. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7, but also for this reason, giving all diligence to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Virtue, Peter says, is added to our faith. Then we add to this knowledge, which I think is obviously what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, comes from Christ. Grow in faith and knowledge in our Lord Jesus Christ. And with virtue and knowledge added to our faith, we have the possibility to add attributes to our lives as Christians, such as self-control, such as brotherly kindness, respect, honesty, forgiveness, and a whole host of attributes that we just don't meditate on, but we actually put into our lives. We use these. We understand what they mean. We begin to know what it is to be kind to one another. We begin to understand that. We begin to understand what it means to have self-control, to persevere. And those things are added to our lives. Moreover, if you look at the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you can see that they are all virtuous attributes in their nature. Because what Paul writes in there is that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control should be part of our lives. These are virtues. This is what makes us virtuous. When we begin to understand and take these attributes and we add them to our faith, and we take the knowledge of what they mean and how they act, and we put them into practice, that's what virtuous is. But it also says over there that there are fruits of the flesh, such as adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And Paul says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we begin to get a clear picture now of what virtue is. Virtue is thinking, meditating on these attributes that Christ and God has given us through His Scriptures. That's what virtue is. And we put them into our lives and we begin to practice them. And as we do, we can be described as being people who are virtuous. We can begin to understand how God called us to glory and virtue. He called us by glory and by virtue. And what we know is that we are not the source of virtue. We don't have that kind of power within us in and of ourselves. We have the tendency, I think, when under stress or faced with a difficult situation, to bend to impulses that are human in nature. Urges or desires that lead to those actions that are described here in Galatians 5, 20 and 21. That's why we need to have the knowledge and the self-control of virtue in our lives. Because we're going to be faced with these stresses. They're going to come in our lives. And we need to have the understanding of how to practice these so that we do not allow the human impulses that naturally arise if we're not careful. Because that's not virtuous. Those are opposite. And we have to be careful. You see, it's only the power of God that can produce virtue. Only the power of God. And so I think it's healthy to have an occasional fruit inspection to see if we are living lives of virtue. Are we producing the fruits that display wisdom or courage or kindness or good manners or courtesy or modesty or generosity or self-control? All virtues, all behaviors that as I look around me in the world today and as we interact with so many people, courtesy, not much. Modesty, not a whole lot. Kindness, good manners, generosity, self-control. I was talking to Tara, and she was saying, we got a class coming up that I'm going to get next year. And they are not practicing any of these. Now, they may be two-year-olds, but we need to be teaching our kids. We don't want a teacher in school to say about our children, the children of Christians, that they don't know what self-respect is. They don't have the slightest clue. We don't want to do that, my friends. We want to teach our kids good manners. Good manners. How to look up and treat older people with respect, with modesty, with understanding. Those are virtues that God has called us by. And we need to meditate on them. We need to think about them. But then we need to put them into practice. That's the meaning of meditate truly in the scriptures here. And when we do that, then we are called by God in glory and in virtue. A virtuous person treats other people fairly. A virtuous person treats others rightly, highly. A virtuous person sanctifies life in such a way that they exemplify the divine power of God. That's what it says. By the divine power, we tap into the divine power of God when we study, read, understand what the scriptures teach us, and we begin to practice those in life. That is what makes us virtuous people. This is what Paul, I think, was talking about in Philippians 2, verse 1. Let's read it. It's one that's verses 1 through 8. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of that mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Why? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. My friends, in the end, it can be said that a person who displays virtue has good moral ethics and makes Bible choices his life. And when we do that, then we understand by which we have been called, glory and virtue. And we exemplify those virtuous qualities in our lives. And it can be said that we are worthy and fit to be called virtuous, just like those women in the Old Testament. In some versions, the word virtuous is translated excellence. They had an excellence of life. Why did the virtuous woman of Psalm 31, why was she called a virtuous woman? Because what she did was not think about herself, but her children, her husband, and others. And in so doing, she exemplified the qualities and the attributes of virtue. And we need to do the same. If we claim to be the people of God, the followers of Jesus Christ, we need to understand what virtue is, what the qualities are, and who they come from. And when we do, we are illustrating the divine power of God and Jesus Christ in our lives. And it is a lifelong pursuit for each of us who yield to God's call of glory and virtue. It starts the day that we are baptized, and it continues until the day that they lower us into the ground. And when we do, we are truly the people of God, those who exemplify and live Jesus Christ. And you know what we do? We bring light to the darkened world. And today, the darkened world needs our light. It needs it. And we have to work and understand and live Jesus Christ in our lives. Do not let our light be darkened. And don't put it under a bushel basket. And don't fear what people are going to say about you. Just live our lives so that they can see the light in us. They can see us as people who respect, as people who love each other, as people who lead lives that glorify God. That's what virtue means. And so when Marlowe says, virtue is the fount whence honor springs, what he's saying is, you glorify God when you lead lives of virtue and you honor Him. That's what you do. If you're here today and you've never named the name of Jesus Christ in your life, if you've not been baptized into His blood and come up and had your sins washed away, if you've not confessed His name as Lord and Savior, understand that you're a sinner and you need to repent of those things. And then you need to take action. You need to do what God wants us to do, and that is to be baptized into His Son, into His blood, come up a new person, and begin to walk the life that He wants, not ours. And if you need the help of this congregation, if you need the prayers of this congregation, let it be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.